This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Sarah Palin recently released a video speaking on behalf of Mama Grizzlies. Well, Sarah Palin, you don't speak for us.
In her video, she mentioned that Mama Grizzlies attack when their cubs are threatened. Sure. Yeah, I attack when my cubs are threatened.
But want to know what threatens me? My daughter not having the right to choose.
You know, Miss Palin, that really gets under my skin. And my fur, and my nails, my beautiful manicured cub claw nails.
But believe me, there are plenty of Mama Grizzlies out there who would disagree with you.
So you're right.
You don't want to mess with Mama Grizzlies.
Don't mess with us.
That's an excerpt from a video produced by Emily's List. It's part of a new campaign, Sarah Doesn't Speak for Me, talking about Sarah Palin. She does tend to irritate mainline old-school feminism, especially on the issue of choice, or reproductive choice, as they like to put it. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, the 20th of August. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll begin today's program talking to Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse about pro-choice feminism. In about 15 minutes, we'll discuss the Old Testament judge. He's the last of the judges and the first of the new cycle of prophets after Moses, Samuel, a pivotal figure in Old Testament history. Dr. Andrew Steinman of Concordia University Chicago will be our guest. Then we'll wrap up today's program playing with you, Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. We need your votes for Soundbite of the Week. You can vote. You can listen to the soundbites in advance at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. They're also there at the homepage. And then we want your votes. You can vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can email your votes to us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send them as a tweet to us at @issuesetc, or visit our Facebook fan page and vote there for Soundbite of the Week, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's authored the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Why does Sarah Palin so get under the skin of pro-choice feminists?
Well, because she's an attractive, accomplished woman who does not share their views about the centrality of abortion to her success. You know, in other words, she has been able to become governor of a state and become a respected national public figure without exercising her right to choose even a single time. You know, and for the feminists who, they're self-described feminists, I should say, who believe that abortion is an absolutely central to any woman's opportunities for success, she's a poke in the eye to them, and the fact that she's attractive makes it even worse.
You say self-described feminist. Why do you qualify it that way?
Well, because look, these are people who have claimed to speak for all of womankind, you know, and that's why their new ad campaign is particularly ironic. For them to be saying, Sarah Palin doesn't speak for me, well, that's quite ridiculous. They are the ones, you know, the so-called women's movement gave themselves permission to speak for every woman in America. And, you know, and Sarah Palin, as far as I know, knows perfectly well that she doesn't speak for every woman in America. You know, but for goodness sake, there's an organization that calls itself the National Organization for Women. And as far as I know, they have never spoken for me on a single issue. I don't agree with them on anything, you know. You know, maybe I agree on the date and time or something trivial like that. But I have never agreed with the National Organization for Women on any serious and important issue. And yet they claim by their very title to speak for me and for all women in America. And so for them to say, to have a whole ad campaign saying Sarah doesn't speak for me, I think it's particularly ironic that they would choose that title. And it shows, I think, the desperation of the lifestyle left. They're running out of ideas.
Emily's List recently called pro-life female candidates backward-looking. How do you respond?
That's ridiculous. I mean, they're the ones who are stuck in the 70s. You know, the having pro-choice as the premier women's issue is so 70s. I mean, that is so 5 minutes ago. I mean, what is wrong with them? They do not seem to realize that the culture rejects the abortion license, even though people continue to exercise it because it's available to them. There are still tremendous numbers of people who oppose it, and they don't understand that the pro-life movement is a women's movement. They don't understand that the chastity education movement and the abstinence education movement, that those are movements completely dominated by women, that crisis pregnancy centers that where dot this country, all across this country, there are more crisis pregnancy centers than there are abortion centers. Those places are staffed almost entirely by women. And to top it all off, if you go to the Walk for Life or the March for Life, any of these big annual events that really demonstrate pro-life solidarity, not only are there a lot of women there, it's a youth movement. You know, the young people are fed up with the whole abortion license and everything that it represents. So for them to say that Sarah Palin is backward-looking, I mean, I just think that's ridiculous. The youth of this country are pro-life. And the only exception to that is when people spend a long time in elite institutions of higher learning. Most young people go into college pro-life. Some of them do come out pro-choice, but not enough to change the balance of what is going on in this society, which is the trend is all towards pro-life.
All right, then. I mean, I'm looking at the women in this campaign from Emily's List. They call themselves Mama Grizzlies, although they're all dressed up like grizzly bears. The demographic that I see being portrayed there doesn't look like the real face of old-school pro-choice feminism. I think they're trying to aim for, like, early 30s, maybe early 40s professional women with kids, mothers.
Yes.
By the way, how does that compare with the real picture of kind of the most hardened voices of leftist feminism?
Well, that's very interesting. Of course, the most hardened voices of leftist feminism are really quite old, a lot of them, you know. But they get their new recruits through women's studies centers across the country, you know, in colleges and so on. And the fact is that women with children, women with school-age children, those are the people who are working at the crisis pregnancy centers that I'm talking about. And the only exception that there would be are the women who are professional women who really have seen their careers take off because they had one or more abortions in order to stay on the career track. Those women, you know, they're a mixed bag. They're a very complicated bag, I would say. Some of them, I'm sure, are, you know, extremely pro-choice. But some of them have very serious and deep and profound regrets about having had an abortion. Some of those women can't have children now or have fewer children than they would have liked to have. And they see now, looking back on the whole course of their lives, that choice, the choice that was being offered to them was always only the choice to say no to a pregnancy. It wasn't a choice to absolutely get pregnant on your own terms each and every time. You know, the women who are facing infertility or impaired fertility because they've waited so long, those people are very ambiguous in terms of their attachment to old school feminism. They may continue to be pro-abortion, but they have some very serious second thoughts and misgivings about their whole involvement or their whole commitment to what they might have believed maybe when they were 20s. And the reason I feel sure about saying this to you, Todd, is that I encounter women like this all the time. You know, when I'm giving talks at churches or universities or business groups and things like that, if I talk to people about how people are fed up and sick of the sexual revolution, if it's an audience of any size at all, I can count on women coming up to me and saying, yes, that's what happened to me, and yes, I wish somebody had told me, and the young people are being so misled, and how do I help you and the Ruth Institute so that young people have better information to make the serious decisions that they face, and that, in fact, the women's movement is sending people all down the wrong path. I mean, they're telling people that your success in life depends on your success in your career, and that depends on your ability to have an abortion whenever you want to. And by the way, don't get married because that's kind of dangerous. And if it really comes to that, you can have a child through artificial insemination when you're 35 or 40. You know, people who have experienced that those kinds of decisions, recognize that those claims are at best highly misleading and at worst flat out lies. And so those are the people who come to me at the Ruth Institute and say, what can I do to help the younger generation? How can I help college students and college women in particular to have accurate information so that they don't go through the heartache that I went through, the heartache of not being able to have children, the heartache of having children alone, the heartache of spending more and more of my life by myself rather than with a partner? Those kinds of things are a big factor on the minds of women today.
We've had very little time. With only about 30 seconds, one of the lines that struck me in that was a woman saying, what threatens me and my cubs is that my daughter would not have the right to choose. And I'm thinking to myself, what's the message to the daughter in that case?
Well, the message to the daughter is that that your life depends on being able to have an abortion, and that what you're really saying is that what she's really saying is that abort my grandchild. It's okay with me. It's more important to me that you abort my grandchild than I don't know what, than anything else. You know, the key to your happiness depends on something like that. So I think that's a very strong message, and it's a very ambiguous message, because it's what it's telling the younger generation is that your fertility is a threat to you, rather than your fertility being a gift to the whole family and something that we will support and help you with. Your fertility is a threat to you and a threat to everybody, and so the thing to do is to get rid of this baby. That's a dreadful message to be sending young people.
Folks, check out the website and the blog for Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse and the Ruth Institute this weekend. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jen, thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the Old Testament judge and prophet. He plays both roles, Samuel. Dr. Andrew Steinman will be our guest.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Think big screens belong in the movie theater, not at church? Think garage bands should stay in the garage, not be jamming in front of the altar? Hey, we do too. Come join us at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, for services that are reverent and relevant, vibrant and traditional. Divine service on Saturday at 6 p.m., on Sunday morning at 7:45 and 10, with Sunday school and Bible class in between at 9. Join us. Not a big screen or garage band in sight. Promise.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub, your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.